defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To find out more about the program, Hank Hanegraaff, or other highly recommended resources to be better equipped with answers, go to www.equip.org. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. This is a brand new month, and we have a brand new item we want to put into your hands for your support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. And again, you can support the ministry, contact the ministry, or get the resource that I want to put into your hands this month from the ministry by simply contacting us on the World Wide Web at equip.org via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or by picking up the telephone and talking to one of our resource consultants, that number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. What I want to put into your hands is a new book designed by the Christian Research Institute based on articles from the Christian Research Journal on God's design for sex. Again, God's design for sex. And if you have a question about sex today, you can call me. We'll be taking your calls on sex today on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You might want to know why I'm devoting this resource and this time to the subject of sex. The truth is that the biblical reality concerning sexuality is not gratuitous. The rhetoric about sex in the public milieu is damaging to women, to children, to men, to families, and the social impact of the redefinition of marriage, particularly on women and children, is singularly draconian. And that's why you and I must be equipped with the truth about sex. This is not about thumping our Bibles. This is not about condemning others. But it's all about understanding what God says about this vital subject so that you and I can compassionately, respectfully communicate God's parameters about sex to those that we influence, family members, friends, children. And the reason is so that their joy and our joy might indeed be complete. Being a voice of truth in a wilderness of our culture is what the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast do each and every day of the year, but only through the support of friends like you. And that's why I'm so profoundly grateful for your financial support. You play a vital role that allows us to equip others with truth so that their joy in Christ may be complete. So as you support the ministry this month, please be generous and recognize that I'm putting a strategic tool into your hands, a tool that you will want to reference over and over again in the years ahead. Never forget that we are partakers of the divine nature, the glowing embers from the eternal life of God have been deposited into our being such that the Spirit of God Almighty dwells within our very being. And thus, we must with great care and with great diligence guard our bodies. Why? Because they're living stones in the eternal temple of God. Paul put it this way, we must glorify God in our bodies. The most profound meaning of sexual union signifies Christ's marriage to his bride, the church. All sex, therefore, is subordinate to the ultimate end of glorifying God. Sex between a man and a woman is a simile. It's an extended metaphor. It's a parable of the relationship of the Creator to the crowning jewels of His creation. And we can curse the darkness or curse the culture. But remember, all of this starts with reformation within the body of Christ. And if ever there was need for reformation, there is a need for reformation on the subject of sex. The younger generation in particular does not understand, by and large, why God has placed biblical parameters with respect to sex. They don't understand that this is not because He's a cosmic killjoy, but because He wants our joy to be complete. Oftentimes when we talk about a biblical view of sexuality, the response is, well, that's hatred. That's bigotry. That's Bible thumping. We need to get beyond that and just love. And unfortunately, we fail to recognize all too often just how shallow those words really are. God's design for sex is an incredibly important resource. This is not, again, gratuitous. This is something that affects each and every one of us in every facet of our daily lives. To join me in discussing this subject with me, with you, on this broadcast, Joe Dallas. If you've heard Joe on the broadcast before, you are going to appreciate him on the broadcast today. He is the founder of Genesis Biblical Solutions in Tustin, California. It's a Christian ministry to men dealing with, sexual addiction, homosexuality, and other sexual-related issues. He's a pastoral counselor. He's a regularly featured speaker at conferences and churches. He's the author or editor of many different books on human sexuality, including Desires and Conflict and The Complete Christian Guide to Understanding Homosexuality. And he knows what he's talking about, not only because he's biblically astute, grounded in the Scriptures, but because he has lived the life. So he knows the subject from the inside out. And I'm not just talking about homosexuality. I'm talking about heterosexuality. I'm talking about sexuality in general. And as always, we're very pleased to have Joe on the broadcast with us. Good, once again, to hear your voice, Joe.
Hey, thanks so much, Hank. Great being with you.
This is a subject that we've thought about long and hard. Should we provide a resource to Christians that guide them into a biblically astute paradigm regarding God's design for sex? What do you say about this?
You made the right choice, Hank. I think it's critical to emphasize what you said earlier. We do need a moral reformation within the body of Christ. We certainly need to be making a proclamation to the culture as to what God's intentions are, but we cannot make that proclamation with integrity if we don't have a reformation first, because so long as we have significant numbers of born-again believers stepping outside God's intentions for the human sexual union, whether it's through the use of pornography, whether it's through different forms of fornication or unnatural behavior, why we're not going to be fit, really, to address the cultural problems that we see. And besides all of which, the most significant point I think you raised is the purpose of human sexuality, and it is indeed to glorify God. And so we have a mandate, as Paul said in the scripture you quoted, to glorify God both in our bodies and in our spirits. And so any material that's developed to help people do that, I say praise God. The time is now.
You know, there is a real cultural shift that has happened with vast rapidity. I mean, I'm looking right now at a front page article in the Charlotte Observer. We're in Charlotte, North Carolina. Front page, the article's titled Pride on Parade in Charlotte. Civic leaders, corporations support city's first gay rights parade in 19 years. This was an article that ran within the last week. Another article that ran within the last week is on Bradley Manning, who wants to live as a woman named Chelsea and begin hormone treatment as soon as possible. He's a soldier sentenced to 35 years in prison for giving government secrets to WikiLeaks. So you see these kinds of articles and you recognize, wow, our culture has gone through a dramatic transformation in recent years.
Oh, the shift is breathtaking, Hank. Just breathtaking. We have seen the gradual shift, of course, for decades, but the momentum gained even in the past 3 years really is astounding. And in a way, I tend to think, well, what do we expect? The world is the world. But on the other hand, I have to grieve over the direction this nation is going and over the lack of influence, even the diminishing influence the church seems to be having in the culture on these matters.
And one of the reasons, and you broached this in an article in the book, is that the church oftentimes, or the body of Christ oftentimes, does not know how to defend the biblical concept of family. And that's, again, an article titled The Family Quarrel, Defining and Defending the Biblical Concept of Family. The cultural debate over how to define a family has enormous significance. So let's talk about the biblical definition of family and what our obligation as Christians is to make that biblical definition known to the culture.
That is quite a mandate, isn't it? And I think it's one that believers feel, and I think at a gut level, most, if not all, believers have a sense, even a conviction, that a family is essentially composed of a mother and a father, a biological male and female united in marriage who have produced offspring. Now, that may also include, in different situations, children who are adopted. It may include children who are stepchildren. But essentially, throughout Scripture, we see the family defined as the product of a union and commitment between a man and woman within a heterosexual marriage. Now, I think most believers would affirm that, but there is something happening in the world around us, Hank, by which believers are essentially being called on to explain why oxygen matters. Now, most of us are not scientists. We would not necessarily be equipped to use the proper terms to explain why we need oxygen. Yet we know that we do. And oftentimes, I think modern believers feel like they're in a similarly absurd situation when someone says, well, what's so special about a monogamous heterosexual union that either produces or adopts and watches over offspring? And yet, when challenged to articulate the rationale behind that, a lot of believers are stumped either because they don't feel they have the right words to explain it, or, and I think this is more common, Hank, they feel intimidated by the times. There is a tremendous wave of cultural contempt for those of us who hold the traditional view of the family.
We're going to be talking about that and much more with Joe Dallas throughout the remainder of this broadcast. Also be taking your calls. Joe will be talking directly to you right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial to get your question answered by Joe on anything regarding sexual relations, sexual matters, the concept of sex, God's design for sex. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK. Hank translates to 888-275-4265. We're going to be talking about what the biblical perspective on sexual practices within marriage is, why traditional values matter, the problem of pornography among Christians, all aspects of this resource, the effects of porn on the male brain, sexual sanity for women in a world gone mad, and much, much more as the broadcast continues. Again, the resource God's Designed for Sex, available through the Christian Research Institute. The best way to order your copy for your gift is on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Be right back with Joe Dallas.
When it comes to sex, Hollywood can't hold a candle to the Bible. After all, God intended sex. So why not read about it in His Word? God's Design for Sex helps you do that, and Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you this powerful new CRI publication. It's our thank you for your financial support of this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your copy of this important book when you call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be right back with Hank Hanegraaff after this. Let's talk about sex. God's Design for Sex. That's the title of a must-read new CRI publication that equips you with biblical truth about this vital subject matter. The truth is, our Creator purposed sex to be pristine and pure, and He gave us guidelines about sexuality in His Word to make our joy complete. But how do we reclaim a biblical view of sex in a world that's prostituted and perverted this beautiful gift? God's Design for Sex explores the answers from Scripture of how to do just that. And Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a copy of this important book to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call and request your copy of God's Design for Sex today, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org, equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Christians typically haven't had much to say about video games, and often when they do, it's pretty negative. There are certainly real concerns over violence and addiction in video games, but the church needs to give this nearly ubiquitous medium a more balanced treatment. Other topics include sexual sanity for women in a world gone mad. Does the Bible teach that the earth is flat? Soren Kierkegaard, Understanding the Christian Father of Existentialism, Contemplative Prayer, and Psalm 46:10, Suffering and Apologetic Mission, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Mention the word sex, and what comes to mind? A risque pop star, racy magazine, or scandalous movie? Well, how about the Bible? That's right, the Bible. The Creator of all things has given us guidelines about sex in His Holy Word, and the new CRI publication, God's Design for Sex, helps you learn just that. Hank Hanegraaff says we need to know the truth about sex, not so we can thump our Bibles, but so we can compassionately and respectfully communicate God's parameters about sex, so that our joy and others' joy may be complete. Hank wants to send you a copy of this important book, God's Design for Sex, as a thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call and request your copy today, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. Thank you. might blush when you read Solomon's Song of Songs, but it's a beautiful reminder why God created sex. And Hank Hanegraaff wants you to learn more in CRI's new publication, God's Design for Sex. Request your copy of this important book when you call or go online. It's our thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. And now we'll get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. God's Design for Sex, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Joe Dallas is a primary contributor to this book. He has written many articles for the Christian Research Journal. Of course, he is an author, and he's also a founder of Genesis Biblical Solutions in Tustin, California. In my opinion, there isn't a more significant authority on this subject matter than Joe Dallas, and that's why we're privileged to have him in studio from time to time as we discuss this very significant subject, human sexuality, God's design for sex. And Joe, I appreciate the fact that you are sensitive about this subject, because a lot of people are writing maybe even angry emails towards you, towards me, towards others with respect to God's design for sex, because they have been deeply hurt. And I want to offer you one of those people who sent me an email recently, said, "I am a Christian follower. I believe in God, but not the church, not its people. They spew hatred and lies. I have a son who was born feminine in a male body. I prayed to God to change my son so that he would be accepted. But prayers will not make a gay man or a lesbian straight. I came to realize that it's man and his hatred and lies that has us thinking anyone who is different must be made like us. Yes, you can be born gay. Jesus came and said, the old way is done, for I, Jesus, am the way, the light, and anyone, not just heterosexuals, can come to me and find salvation. Jesus never said that he wanted us to select who can be Christians. He said the door was open to all who would walk in, and yet the church halts anyone who doesn't fit its perceived notion of what a Christian should look like. How sad. When it's time for you to be judged, your hatred, your lies will be seen by God. So repent and think about the countless lives you have at hand, turning from God and putting hate in their hearts towards Him for your preaching of hatred towards people who you don't agree with. God is love, yet the Christian community spreads hatred and judges people instead of being proactive in today's society." There's much more that's written in this email, but that's the gist of it. But you can read the undertone of tremendous hurt in this, Joe.
Well, it screams at you, doesn't it? This man is in pain, and I believe him when he says that he has experienced some things that were deeply wounding both to his son and to him. Now, unfortunately, out of his pain, he's making very broad statements and very questionable statements. In fact, some that are downright wrong. Of course, Hank, it is not hatred to hold an opinion based on an understanding of Scripture. There is a difference between a conviction and a prejudice. To hold a conviction based on a worldview is to simply acknowledge what our Creator has stated as being right versus wrong, normal versus abnormal. That does not mean we do not recognize the value of all people, and I would especially disagree with his statement that because we believe certain behaviors are outside God's will, we are thereby saying only certain people can become Christians. good grief, we know that all of us have engaged in behaviors outside of God's will, that we have fallen short and are in need of a Savior. And we invite, we even urge all people to come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But that does not mean that we revise God's own standards, just as Jesus, on the one hand, rebuked a number of very self-righteous men who were ready to stone an adulterous woman for her sin. And he simply pointed out that if anyone there was without sin, they were welcome to throw the first stone. Of course, no one qualified. They all left. But he by no means revised the standard when he said to her, I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. And so to that young man whose father wrote in, I would say, I am so sorry for whatever hatred or rejection you've received, whether it was from non-Christians or Christians. But I would say, please first do not presume that if someone believes that something about your life is outside God's will, that means they hate you. That's both illogical and it's unfair. And secondly, even more important, the question is not what caused you to feel the way you do. This man is contending that some people are born homosexual. Now, Hank, I don't really buy that. I think that there is still not compelling evidence that that is the case. But I don't like to get off on a rabbit trail over what causes certain sinful tendencies. The flesh, the fallen nature, it's a mysterious mixed bag, and we don't always know what particular elements combined to create certain feelings or attraction. But the question is really not, or should not be, what caused it, but rather, is it in and of itself within God's will or outside God's will? I think that's where we have to begin.
And again, when we speak about this subject, Joe, we're not speaking self-righteously. What we're attempting to do is communicate God's design for sex. Talk once again about the importance of that title.
Well, the question of God's design, I think, is really where the argument should start. And that takes us back to Genesis. What did God intend? I am, every year I live, and I'm 58 now, Hank, so I've lived a while. Every year I live, I am more struck by the mystery and the wisdom of God's statement. The first critical thing he said about humanity is what he said about Adam, when after this fully formed creature was brought to be, God said it's not good for him to be alone. To meet his deepest needs, needs that are not even met by his relationship with me, I will create a mate, a partner, a helper that is fit for him. And in creating that male-female union, he set a standard and a tone that is reiterated throughout Scripture, that this is what he designed as both a representation of his relationship to his people, which is just staggering and beautiful when you think about it, and also as a means of meeting deep, profound human need.
Again, the resource, God's Design for Sex, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants also standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. A lot of people are hanging on. I want to go right to the phone calls. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK. Hank translates to 888-275-4265. Your questions for Joe Dallas. First up, Dana in Peoria, Illinois, listening on WVEL. Hi, Dana.
How you doing? God bless you. Thanks. I'm kind of torn between something. How do you, you know, how do you, my pastor's against me marrying, but I don't want to, you know, burn with compassion or lust or anything. I have prayer for that. I got a 44-year-old habit, you know, acting out, you know.
And so what's your question, Dana?
How do you deal with it? Do you get married? I'm kind of picky on who I like to get married, you know, certain criteria. And, do you get married? I don't know if I should get married or stay single. He said, I've never been married before. I like to get married, you know, but I'm 57, you know.
Dana?
I've never been married before.
Let's see what Joe Dallas has to say.
Okay, sure, fine. Dana. You seem to be saying that you have some kind of a habit that makes you concerned about whether or not you should get married. Is that correct?
Yeah, masturbation.
Okay. And so the question becomes, should you get married as a means of resolving that habit?
Yeah, I'm trying to. I have prayer for that. It seems like, it's better now, but I got to contain and just, it's all up to God anyway, you know. I just, contain. I'm kind of picky, though, and there's not too much selection. I'm not working or anything, you know.
Well, a few points about that. I certainly don't think that alone is a good enough reason to marry. Marriage requires.
Yeah.
A great deal from us, and I do think we have to be in a place spiritually, emotionally, and practically in which we can fulfill all of the obligations of marriage, including the obligation to provide for a wife and family and the both emotional and spiritual maturity to head a household. But you're bringing up a good point. We do need to have proven ability to control ourselves sexually. And this is why I do not recommend marrying as a way to solve the problem of sexual lust. Now, I'm very aware that Paul said it is better to marry than to burn, and indeed it is. It is better to be in a marriage relationship than to be burning in lust. But the reality is also, when we are married, we are still subject to temptations. And so if we think that marrying is going to cause those temptations to leave because we now have a legitimate sexual relationship, we will be disappointed to learn that even when we have the legitimized sexual relationship within marriage, we are still subject to sexual temptations outside of marriage. And I think most honest Christian women and men will admit that those temptations can be a reality. And I'm not alarmed by the fact that those temptations exist. What would alarm me would be if a man had not before marriage learned how to properly manage his sexual temptations. And so for that reason, I think this is an issue you should be addressing with your pastor and or with a good Christian counselor to talk about ways and even strategies for dealing with this, because the habit that you're describing, Dana, is one of the commonest of all sexual issues Christians deal with. It is learned very early in life. It is very deeply ingrained. And I think part of the problem is because it is repeated so often as a behavior, it's almost as if we trick our brains into believing that it is now something we need, when in fact it's really something that is just craved. So I hope that you'll take this to a pastor and prayerfully consider getting to work on that before considering marriage.
And again, one of the subjects dealt with in God's Design for Sex is sex designed for solo sexual activity. Again, the resource available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, God's Design for Sex, for your gift all this month. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Be right back with your questions for Joe Dallas in just a few moments right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
Sexual sanity for women in a world gone mad. To defend marriage, we should learn a lesson from apologetics. These are chapters in God's Design for Sex, an important new CRI book Hank Hanegraaff wants you to read. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call or go online to request your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We've got more with Hank Hanegraaff next. Mention the word sex, and what comes to mind? A risque pop star, racy magazine, or scandalous movie? Well, how about the Bible? That's right, the Bible. The Creator of all things has given us guidelines about sex in His Holy Word, and the new CRI publication, God's Design for Sex, helps you learn just that. Hank Hanegraaff says we need to know the truth about sex, not so we can thump our Bibles, but so we can compassionately and respectfully communicate God's parameters about sex, so that our joy and others' joy may be complete. Hank wants to send you a copy of this important book, God's Design for Sex, as a thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call and request your copy today, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In a world spiraling into a sexual free-for-all, many Christian women are succumbing to the cultural insanity that says sex is all about you. Others are smothered in shame concerning their sexual struggles. How can women find sexual sanity in a world gone mad? Other topics include how the West really got lost, video games and Christians, can God fit in this machine? Deepak Chopra's Cosmic Enlightenment, a remarkable summary critique of Alex Rosenberg's book, The Atheist's Guide to Reality, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Let's talk about sex. God's Design for Sex. That's the title of a must-read new CRI publication that equips you with biblical truth about this vital subject matter. The truth is, our Creator purposed sex to be pristine and pure, and He gave us guidelines about sexuality in His Word to make our joy complete. But how do we reclaim a biblical view of sex in a world that's prostituted and perverted this beautiful gift? God's Design for Sex explores the answers from Scripture of how to do just that. And Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a copy of this important book to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call and request your copy of God's Design for Sex today, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org, equip.org. When you hear the word sex, what do you think of? How about the Bible? If you don't, then you should. And the new CRI publication, God's Design for Sex, shows you why. Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you this important book as our gift to thank you for your financial support of this Bible Answer Man broadcast. To request your copy, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff, with more answers.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we are talking to one of the primary contributors to God's Design for Sex, Joe Dallas. Again, Joe is founder of Genesis Biblical Solutions in Tustin, California. It's a Christian ministry to men dealing with sexual addiction, homosexuality, and other sexual relational issues. He is an author and has authored many books that I'm extraordinarily excited about. You can find them on the World Wide Web at equip.org. The resource, again, for your gift all this month is God's Design for Sex. You can get your copy on the World Wide Web at equip.org or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And again, resource consultant standing by as we speak, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. Before going back to Joe, I want to alert everyone down the line. People are calling in from all around the world. So Joe is going to stay with us for an extra hour once this broadcast is complete. And we'll continue the discussion, continue taking your calls, and we'll air that on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Joe, I want to read a quote in the book, and this is from the quotable C.S. Lewis, who says, "The Christian idea of marriage is based on Christ's words that a man and wife are to be regarded as a single organism." He was not expressing a sentiment, but stating a fact, just as one is stating a fact when one says that a lock and its key are one mechanism, or that a violin and a bow are one musical instrument. The inventor of the human machine was telling us that its two halves, the male and the female, were made to be combined together in pairs, not simply on the sexual level, but totally combined. Now, that runs completely counter to the culture today.
It does indeed. In fact, I think you'll find some of the most vehement hostility expressed towards the modern church will be over this very concept of created intent for the human sexual union. C.S. Lewis's illustrations, I think, were very apt, and I think he appealed to the common sense makeup of the male and female body that we see, which I think shouts out some sort of a divine intention. And again, on that issue, I think we are indeed running countercultural. In fact, it may well be, Hank, that the sexual principles of Scripture, when we adhere to them, will be the biblical principles that bring us in the sharpest, most heated contrast with the world around us.
And yet this is a debate we can't shy away from.
We really can't. We can, on the one hand, there's just the issue of faithfulness. We cannot be faithfully expressing divine truth if we shy away from something as foundational as what God intended for the human sexual and reproductive experience. Secondly, we can hardly be relevant if we shy away from it. Good heavens, the whole world is talking endlessly about sexual issues, and so it would be quite an abdication of the responsibility to be relevant if we shied away from this discussion.
And of course, television is the quintessential example. Look at Modern Family, where Cameron and Mitchell adopt a child, or NBC's The New Normal that proudly showcases a gay couple and a surrogate mother, or Grey's Anatomy, where you have Arizona and Callie pronounced wife and wife with great pomp and ceremony. So little wonder that politicians like the Clintons today have had a radical change of heart and mind. Hillary, in lockstep with her husband Bill, now says she supports gay marriage both personally and as a matter of policy and law, and is noted by some Associated Press writers, public opinion on gay marriage has shifted perhaps more rapidly than on any other major issue in recent times. And as you note, Joe, the holdouts are routinely relegated to the status of Bible-thumping bigots. But we shouldn't add to that stereotype by being just thumpers. We ought to be equipped to give an answer.
I'm glad you said that, because I think we can responsibly express a truth that is unpopular without resorting to being, in essence, what people say we are. I know, and you know, Hank, I think you know better than most of us, that no matter how reasonably you present a truth, there will always be those who will castigate you for presenting it, and there will always be those who will label you falsely because of the truth you present. So we should never assume that because we are being poorly received, that means we're not expressing the truth properly or that we are not expressing the truth. But as stewards of truth, you're right, we do need to be careful to be expressing divine truth in a way that is reasonable and clear and compassionate.
Back to the phone lines, Tommy in Augusta, Georgia, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Tommy. You're on with Joe Dallas.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, I thought I heard your guest make the comment that when God created a helper for Adam, it was because the helper would be able to provide for a need that even God couldn't meet. That sounded sketchy to me, so I was wondering if there could be some clarification there.
Sure, Tommy, and thank you for bringing that up. I think it's an important point. Now, I think, first of all, that God could, when he designed man, have designed him in such a way that a relationship with God would be all that man needed. That is absolutely true. God is all-powerful, God is all-sufficient, and God absolutely could have created Adam in such a way that he would not need a helper or a helpmeet. I believe that God created Adam with specific needs that God intended to only be met through the male-female relationship with his helpmeet. And for that reason, I said that these were needs that could not be met even in a man's relationship to God, not because God is limited, but because of God's own design. And so I believe he created Adam with a God-ordained need for his union with Eve.
Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Holly next. She's listening in Memphis, Tennessee, WCRV. Hi, Holly. Holly, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You're on with Joe Dallas.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I've listened to you for the past couple of months, and I've gotten a lot out of it, and I just wanted to thank you for what God's called you to do.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
I'm in a situation, and as soon as I heard this, I immediately picked up the phone. I've got a six-year-old, and ever since he was, I guess, three, he's just been a little different. He's liked girl things, and I've dealt with it as best as I could have. Me and his father are not together. And basically the situation I'm in is I'm a Christian, and, you know, I've got my beliefs. And the other side of it, where he's with some of the time, aren't spiritual. So they've got documentaries and a lot of things about my son being transgender. And so it's a very difficult situation because they treat it one way and I believe it the other way. So I don't really know. I don't put my son down. I let him pretty much be who he wants to be. But on the other hand, when he's at another place, they kind of throw it on him like it's okay and, you know, let him dress up in girl clothes and be a girl. And just being a Christian and just what I believe, I just don't. I'm torn. I don't know how I'm supposed to be or how God would look at a situation like this. And he is only six. So, do you understand where I'm going?
Holly, I believe I do. And did I understand you correctly in that when he is at his biological father's home, in that environment, they, in essence, encourage him to identify as a female or with more female or feminine things?
That is correct. And I've pretty much learned through this, you can't make a child like a certain thing. If they don't like playing with G.I. Joes, they're not going to play with it. So at my house, he plays with what he wants. But as far as, like, dressing and everything, he wears boy clothes. And he doesn't complain about being in boy clothes. But over there, they buy that stuff, and he's pretty much knows that over here he doesn't, and over there he can.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't communicate with me, and it's very tough. On he's only six, I know that, but he.
Holly,
he's a good kid.
What is your communication with his father like?
It's not very good at all. Anything that I'm concerned about or anything church-related, we go to church too much. Certain things aren't important that he know. If I ask him about, there was a documentary that I found on Facebook that was done of him a year ago, and it was put on YouTube, and I didn't know anything about it. My son's cousin did it. And when I saw it, I almost fell to the floor, because that's just not something I want. The world is so dangerous and scary, and it's not something I want to subject my six-year-old to. So I had to involve the courts to help me get everything taken down. And
okay, good.
It's been very hard.
It sounds very hard. I think, in a way, this is beyond the scope of a phone call, and, of course, getting good pastoral counsel and even legal counsel might be wisest. I would point this out. If you can reason with his father to at least not reinforce or even instigate a female identity, that is a reasonable request on your part. I think what it may come down to is the issue of contrast. And this often happens when a child is going back and forth between two different homes. In the Christian home, you cannot control necessarily what is done in a home of non-believers, but you can at least provide a very clear contrast and make sure the child knows, in this home, this is why I celebrate your maleness. I do not criticize you not playing with G.I. Joes. Who says a boy has to play with G.I. Joes? But I do recognize that you are male and that you are created male with a purpose. You were known before you were even born, and so your gender was assigned by God Himself, and He knew what He was doing. And so the way I raise you is to celebrate that, and I hope that you will embrace that for yourself.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it at that because we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As mentioned earlier, Joe and I are going to stay right here for an extra hour, continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you're hanging on, please be patient. We'll get to you. If you're dialing in, you can call for the next hour. Your questions on sex and all things related, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. And do remember the resource, God's Design for Sex, available for your gift. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources and information to help sharpen your discernment skills. Not only do we provide books, videos, and informative articles, but you can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived shows, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also sign up for our weekly e-newsletter and receive special benefits. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Christians typically haven't had much to say about video games, and often when they do, it's pretty negative. There are certainly real concerns over violence and addiction in video games, but the church needs to give this nearly ubiquitous medium a more balanced treatment. Other topics include sexual sanity for women in a world gone mad. Does the Bible teach that the earth is flat? Soren Kierkegaard, Understanding the Christian Father of Existentialism, Contemplative Prayer, and Psalm 46:10, Suffering and Apologetic Mission, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Mention the word sex, and what comes to mind? A risque pop star, racy magazine, or scandalous movie? Well, how about the Bible? That's right, the Bible. The Creator of all things has given us guidelines about sex in His holy word, and the new CRI publication, God's Design for Sex, helps you learn just that. Hank Hanegraaff says we need to know the truth about sex, not so we can thump our Bibles, but so we can compassionately and respectfully communicate God's parameters about sex, so that our joy and others' joy may be complete.
Hank wants to send you a copy of this important book, God's Design for Sex, as a thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call and request your copy today, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.